This morning, we're going to take our Bibles again and open to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Today, we want to continue to study the theme of faith. Last Sunday morning, we took the time to define faith from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We understand that faith is more than simply a hope in the future, but it's a present fact. Faith is more than simply believing in the possibilities and the probabilities. It is living with certainties. Faith means that we have a confidence in the promises of God, and because we have such confidence, we are willing to build our lives upon the convictions based on His truth. A minister many years ago said this of faith. He said, "Faith is the eye that beholds the King in His beauty and sees the land afar off. Not man's intellect, not man's imagination, nor man's conscience. All of these become indeed most deeply, radically, and thoroughly the servants of faith. But that which discerns and beholds spiritual realities and appropriates them, that which beholds future blessings and so grasps and cherishes them as to prefer them to things visible and to make them the object and joy of life." I was struck by that one phrase in that statement: to behold the future blessing, to grasp and cherish them as to prefer them to visible things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith believes in the promises of God. It has a conviction of those things which He has declared and builds our lives upon His Word. A.B. Simpson reminds us that a man who has faith in God is not therefore an idealist or a theorist building castles in the air. He has something reliable to count upon, and God can be counted upon to meet our expectations and prove the reality of His confidence. Beloved, God would have each and every one of us who know Him to walk and to live by faith. You and I must understand what faith is. His command to us is clear: the just shall live by faith. How then do you and I demonstrate our faith? How is our faith personified? How do those who look upon us know there is faith? How can we evaluate our own life and see that we are walking, living by faith? As we come to Hebrews chapter 11, we find faith put in action. And we are given illustrations of faith. This has often been referred to as heaven's hall of faith. The Holy Spirit of God has recorded for us the names of the faithful who were pleasing unto the Lord. As we consider each of these this morning, as we begin to consider them, we realize that each is an example. And we find what distinguished them from others in their day. They were men and women of faith. Today I want to see how their faith was personified, how it was demonstrated to those around them, and take their example that we might begin to walk and live by our faith in this present world. It's our faith that should set us apart from all of the false religions and all of the false teachings. It's our faith that ought to be that light in this world, that salt that preserves. It is our faith in Jesus Christ that ought to be seen. We are to walk and live by faith. We're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And we're going to consider this morning the example of Abel. Follow along as I read verse 4. Then we'll bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, and I pray today that as we consider the examples found in Thy Word, of faith, that we would see faith personified, that we would see how we should demonstrate our faith to those around us, that, Lord, we would be known and counted as those who are faithful. Lord, we realize that, moreover, in the steward, it's required that a man be found faithful. To be faithful in all things and full of faith, trusting and believing in our God, a confidence in Him and His promises, convictions that we stand upon without fear, no matter what anyone else would say, because we believe our God. Lord, today we need to be men and women of faith. Lord, it's not by what we see, it's in what we believe that's important. Our eyes may deceive us, and Lord, so many times we want to walk by sight, but the Bible tells us that You want us to walk by faith. For faith is something that we can truly rely upon, because faith drives us to our God, who is trustworthy, reliable, dependable. So Father, we ask and pray that You would help us to learn how to walk and live by faith. Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. The writer of Hebrews here gives to us, beginning in verse 4, examples of those who were found of God to be faithful. Those that distinguished themselves because of their faith. And he begins with the example of Abel. The first thing that we discover about true faith put in action is simply this, that true faith worships God aright. True faith, one who really walks and lives by faith, worships God aright. Faith is a confidence in the promises of God. And faith, therefore, builds our lives upon the convictions that are established from His Word. And there is no place where that is more evident than at the very beginning of faith. You and I know the story of Cain and Abel well, but I want to turn back to Genesis chapter 4 this morning, and I want to consider this story again, because it helps us to see faith, a faith that is willing to worship God aright. It's the beginning of all faith. It's an important passage for us to consider and for us to understand. Genesis chapter 4, look with me in verse 1. It says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We know from there that Cain would find Abel later, and Cain would be the first to commit the sin of murder. He would take his own brother's life. But as we come to this story, and as we begin to discover the demonstration of true faith, we find in this illustration that Abel came to the Lord properly to worship, and Cain did not. I want you to consider a few things with me this morning about that story, as we begin to see how this faith is demonstrated in true worship. Both Cain and Abel came to a place of worship. Verse 3 says, in the process of time, that it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of his hands, and Abel also came bringing the firstlings of his flock. Both came to the place of worship. and both brought an offering to the Lord. If you and I understand that, then we have to understand this as well, that both of them then had received instruction and revelation from God concerning true worship. They both came to a place at a certain time with a specific purpose. They both came to offer their offerings to the Lord. God had instructed Adam and Eve in the process of worship. And that instruction has now been given to their children. And a time was set. And they came to bring their offerings to a specific place at a specific time with a specific purpose. Both were sinners who needed to come and worship the Lord. And both, in order to worship God properly, would need faith. Something I hadn't really considered before, but as I was studying this week, it came to my mind as I read some of the commentators and some of the things, the statements that were made. Really, for the first time, we find those who had to walk and live by faith in Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve did not walk by faith in the very beginning, did they? They walked by sight. They walked in the very presence of God, and He met them in the garden. But to their descendants, there was given a truth concerning God, that there was this one, and He was worthy of worship. And He offered to us these sacrifices that we must do in order that our sins would be forgiven. It had to be given to them, the promise, not from God, but from someone else. Because in Genesis chapter 3, God gave a promise that He would send of the seed of a woman one who would bruise the head of the serpent. And although He would bruise his heel, the serpent would be destroyed and sin would be conquered. Time has now elapsed and that truth was taught to Cain and Abel. And they have come, but they had to come by faith. Both brought their offering, but only Abel's was accepted. Only Abel's offering was pleasing to the Lord. What set his offering apart? Well, Hebrews 4, chapter 11, verse 4 says he made that offering by faith. Abel brought an offering of faith. By faith, Abel accepted the promise of God given to his parents and passed on to him that in the process of time, God would send one to be a Savior who would crush the power of Satan and redeem sinful men. The basis of that salvation throughout the Scripture has been the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. From the very beginning of time, God taught the importance of the blood. And Abel accepted that promise, and he brought the firstling of his flock, and he offered a sacrifice that would shed the blood. Cain, on the other hand, refused to obey that command. And Cain came to God on his own terms. Abel accepted the promise of salvation. He acknowledged his need of the blood. By faith, he obeyed. But in disbelief, Cain brought to God his own sacrifice. He came to God on his own terms. He brought the works of his hand. He sought the acceptance of God on his own merit. Because of that, God refused the offering of Cain. But Abel's, he accepted. As I understand that, then I realize that their faith in worship, that there must be a sense of sin. I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 again. And I want you to see the sense of sin that Abel had. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By that sacrifice, he obtained the witness that he was righteous. God called Abel's sacrifice more excellent than Cain's.
Because Abel, by faith, acknowledged his sin. He recognized that there was the need of blood. He realized that his sin had to be forgiven. Cain rejected such a thought. Cain believed that in and of himself he was good enough and what he brought to God should be accepted. He refused to accept the fact that he was a sinner. True faith begins as one acknowledges the truth that he's a sinner. In order for us to have true faith, we must believe first that we're a sinner. You know, the Bible makes that truth very plain. There is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Your life and my life has been stained with sin. Our sins are like scarlet, red like crimson. True faith acknowledges that there's a problem in my life, that there is a problem of sin. And Abel, by faith, offered a sacrifice because he had that sense of sin. True faith believes first that there is a need and then trusts that the word of God, the promises of God are true. And therefore, as such, he builds his eternity on those promises. Consider what the Bible says about salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes on Jesus Christ will be saved. Our eternity is based on that truth, that fact. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith builds its foundation for eternity upon the promises of God. By the way, you and I receive that truth and have to either accept it by faith or reject it. You and I have not seen God. You and I were not there the day that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. You and I did not see that event with our own eyes. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. By faith, I understand that I'm a sinner. By faith, I accept that Jesus Christ paid a sacrifice, that his blood was shed for me, and I understand that God has said that it's by grace I am saved through faith. It's not of my works. My works are of no value. It is only by the work of Jesus Christ. And as I place my faith in him, I can rest and build my eternity upon that truth. That takes faith. And Abel had that faith. Cain did not. Cain forever stands as a father of false religion, while Abel stands forever as a man of true faith. Every religion outside of true Christianity tries to somehow work its way to heaven. It has its means for them to do, and they expect God to accept them on the merit of their works. We've held to a certain doctrine. We have done certain things. We have given unto the church. We have been good to those who are poor. We have done, we have done, we have done. That is Cain's religion, and it's false religion. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Because he believed. And to him it was accounted to him as righteousness. Then I want you to notice what it says at the end. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Forever Abel has a testimony of faith. How precious it is that God would forever declare that through the life of Abel, true faith is found in one who worships God aright. He offered a more excellent sacrifice, and by that sacrifice obtained righteousness. He stands today as a testimony of true faith, a faith that worships God as God demands. Can I ask you this morning, if you and I possess true faith, is it seen in the way you worship? If you declare to have faith in God, then would not that faith be seen in the way that we come to worship the Lord? Have you come today to God, here in this place, to worship on His terms? Have you come accepting His promises and His truth? Or today did you come to this place of worship expecting God to accept anything that you bring Him? Do you expect God to accept your worship on your terms? Or do you come to God on His? Are you coming today as a matter of a show? Or are you coming because you're really demonstrating to others that I have true faith in God and I come to Him on His terms? What He says I will do, what sin He convicts me of, I will confess and I will forsake and I will live and walk now by faith. Abel was a man of faith because he worshiped God aright. He came to God on His terms, God's terms. What God said, he believed, and he counted God faithful, and he put his confidence and he built his life upon the conviction that God's word is true. Do we have that kind of faith? Are we placing our lives and building our lives upon the word of God? Or are we doing that which is right in our own eyes? Doing that which is pleasing to self? Folks, true faith worships God right. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The second truth concerning faith in action is that true faith not only worships God aright, but true faith walks with God anew. True faith walks with God anew. This truth is revealed through the example of Enoch. I want you to go back to Genesis, this time to Genesis chapter 5. Enoch's life is summed up in just a few verses for our consideration. Genesis chapter 5. But Enoch is known as one who walked with God by his faith. Look at verse 21 down through verse 24. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When you look at the life of Enoch, there is one truth that God reveals to us about this man. We know who he was the father of, Methuselah. But then this truth is revealed. He walked with God. When you study the scripture and you find the name of Enoch, you find one who walked with God. He was a man that walked with God. He walked by faith. He walked closely with the Lord. And as such, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 5, he was pleasing unto the Lord. And God, the Bible says, took him. Enoch has the distinction, along with Elijah, to be the only two Old Testament saints that escaped death and simply be translated to heaven. You and I, by the way, look forward to such an event. We hope not to see death. We hope to be taken in the rapture. Enoch was one who, by faith, walked with God. And as I consider Enoch and I consider his testimony of faith, I'm reminded of his time. Consider with me Enoch's time. Sin is a terrible disease that quickly destroys all that is good and righteous. We found ourselves in Genesis chapter 5. When you come to Genesis chapter 6, we're going to see how far sin had come. So much so that God would destroy the earth with a flood. But we understand that Adam first sinned, and from that sin, the leaven of sin spread rapidly in man. All we have to do is look at Cain again, and we see the destructive nature of sin as he would take the life of his own brother in murder because God accepted him, but he rejected Cain. Sin was having its effect, and it was doing damaging results on mankind. 5 generations later from Cain, we find a man named Lamech. And Lamech is one who openly and proudly boasts of his sin. Cain felt no remorse for his sin of killing his own brother. And Lamech was 10 times worse than Cain. If God would recompense unto Cain 7-fold, then he surely would give me 70-fold. He would boast of his sin and he would actually call upon God to judge him. By the time we come to Genesis chapter 6, we find the Lord regretting that he had even made man. And he sought to destroy man from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's interesting to note that Noah and Enoch are the only two before the flood of which it is said in the scripture, they walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and so did Noah. By the way, Enoch would be the great-grandfather of Noah. He lived about 600 years before the flood. He was taken before the flood ever came. He was taken before Noah was ever born. But the reality is that Noah was one who walked with God, as did Enoch. But what I understand about Enoch in the time in which he lived, and although he was one who walked by faith, he did so in the midst of a world that had turned from God. No one else is said to have walked with God as Enoch did. But by faith, he walked with God day by day in the midst of a wicked and perverse world. But he had that testimony of one who walked with God and one who was pleasing unto the Lord. I want you to turn back to Hebrews 11 as we close this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 6. Because I think we need to consider the truth of this text. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith, without walking with God by faith, you and I will never be pleasing to the Lord. By faith, we must believe that God is, and that he rewards those that seek him. Enoch walked with God. And because he walked with the Lord, his reward was to be translated so that he'd not have to face death. Noah walked with God. And God rewarded Noah by sparing him through the midst of the storm. He built an ark and his life and his family's life was spared because he had faith in God. Now, as you and I walk with God and seek him face to face, he promises that he himself will reward us. I think of the words in Proverbs 8 verse 17. It says, "Those that seek the Lord will find him." What a blessed truth. All who seek the Lord will find him. You ever look for someone and not be able to find them? I can remember as a child going out with my father as a young boy. We would go out into the woods there to hunt. And I remember times Dad would say, "Now you sit here, and I'm going to take a walk, and I'm going to see what I can bring your way to you. So you wait for me to come back." My dad had a tendency that when he said he was going to make a circle around you, that circle wasn't all that small. It actually turned to be larger than I always thought. So hours would go by, and there I would sit. Where is he coming back? Now, as you're a young boy sitting there, you begin to hear things. You don't know what's around the corner, and you kind of get a little nervous. And you got a gun, and you're sitting there going, boy, it's kind of scary. So every once in a while, you'd start to go out, and you'd start to look. You wouldn't be able to find him. You kind of thought, by now, he should be over here, and you can't find him. That's never a good experience for a child. You know what the Bible says? Those who seek the Lord will find them. Those who seek the Lord in faith will find the Lord. He rewards us with his presence. Revelation tells us that those who open the door to him will find that he will enter in and will sup with them. The Lord Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And those who open that door will find the Lord to come and fellowship with them. Those who walk by faith will be pleasing to the Lord, and he rewards those who walk by faith. True faith worships God aright, and true faith walks with God anew. Abel worshiped the Lord according to the word of God. And Enoch walked with God according to his word. And he was pleasing unto him. Folks, God would have you and I live and walk by faith. The just are to live by faith. So how are you demonstrating that faith? When others look at you and realize as they watch you in the house of God and they watch you in your worship, will they see in you true faith? As they see you in your walk day by day, do they see faith in God? Next week as we come back to Hebrews 11, we're going to find that true faith is seen in our work, and it's also seen in our waiting. Without faith, we cannot please God. I want to remind you again of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's being confident in the promises of God and building our lives upon his word, our worship and our walk, based on the convictions that come from God's declarations, his word. By that word, we walk by faith. Beloved, God wants us to walk and worship by faith. We are to live by faith. Without faith, you and I won't please him. That's true privately within your own life. That's true corporately as a body. We come that we might worship the Lord by faith. Faith based upon the word of God and the God of his word. We believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. Let us walk. Let us worship by our faith. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning that we can come and consider again the truth of faith. Father, we live in a day and age where men, even men who profess to be saved and have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, prefer to live by sight. But Lord, you want us as your people to walk by faith. A faith that believes in the promises of God. A faith that understands the future blessings. And a faith that prefers to live in such of a way, not by what we see, but what we believe and what we know. A faith that trusts in our God, believing that we are confident in him, that what he says he will do. Father, as we've come to worship today, I pray that we would have come to worship him aright. To worship him as the word of God says. Lord, that means that we have to confess our sin. that we might have that fellowship with Him, for sin separates us from God. Lord, we can't walk in our sin and declare that we're worshiping the Lord. Father, I pray today that there's a believer here that is living in sin. Lord, you convict them of that sin. Lord, that you break their heart today, that they would come and confess that sin, that they might truly worship you right. Lord, there is never going to be faith until first we recognize that we're sinners in need of salvation, that Jesus Christ died for us, that we might be redeemed. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never been saved, they've never put their faith in Him, they don't have a confidence in eternity, they don't know where they would go if they would die today, then Lord, I pray today that you would show them their need of salvation and they'd be saved. Father, I also pray that you'd help us to walk by faith, building our lives upon the Word of God and its truth. That, Lord, we would be pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you, Lord, for it. So, Father, we come and we commit ourselves unto you even at this time of invitation in Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Two questions this morning. Number one, have you ever been saved this morning? Have you ever come to the place in your life where you have placed your confidence in Jesus Christ for your eternity? The Bible tells us that man is going to live somewhere forever. It'll either be in heaven or in hell. He'll either be in the presence of God or he will be forever separated from God, tormented because of sin. Sin is worthy of punishment. It is worthy of death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever been saved? Has there ever been that time that you've put your confidence in Jesus Christ for your eternity? I often say it this way to folks: if Jesus Christ can't save me, then I can't be saved. I have staked my eternity on Him and Him alone. I am entrusting nothing else or no one else. It is only Him. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And whosoever believes on Him will not perish. They will have everlasting life. If you're here this morning, there's never been a time that you've placed your confidence in Jesus Christ for your salvation. We want to make that available to you. We would love nothing more than be able to sit down with you and share with you from the Bible how you today can know for sure you're saved. That would be our greatest delight, our greatest joy. If you're here this morning, you would say, Pastor Bateman, there's never been a time in my life that I've put my confidence in Jesus Christ for my eternity, for my salvation. But today I know I need to be. I recognize I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved. If you would say that this morning and desire to know more of what it means to be saved, would you lift your hand that I could pray for you? By lifting the hand, you say, Pastor Bateman, I'm not saved. I know I need to be. I'd like to know more. Would you please just simply pray for me? Anyone at all? Christian, let me ask you now. Are we living by faith? Did you enter in through the doors today by faith to worship the Lord? Or have you come to the Lord on your own terms, in your own way? Tomorrow, when you wake up and you begin to walk in this world again, will you walk by faith? Walk basing your life upon the Word of God? Or will you base it upon your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings? Are you going to live pleasing to the Lord? Or to worship and walk by faith? Maybe there's someone to say this, Pastor Bateman, the Lord spoke into my heart this morning. I haven't been walking by faith. I haven't been living by faith. Matter of fact, my life has been more about me than it's been about God. I haven't really been putting any confidence in Him at all. Matter of fact, all my confidence is in me. But this morning the Spirit of God spoke to me, and there's some things in my life that I need to settle with Him. And today I want to begin to walk and live by faith in my worship and in my daily walk with Him. Pastor, I'm simply asking that you pray for me. And time of invitation, I want to begin to settle those things with the Lord and do that which is pleasing to Him again. Pastor, please pray for me. Is there anyone at all like that this morning? Thank you. You may put that hand down. anyone else. Pastor, pray for me. Spirit of God has spoken to me. There's some areas of my life that I really need to address. I want to walk and live by faith. Thank you. You may put that hand down as well. Anyone else? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask and pray that we as your people truly would be willing to walk and live by faith. Lord, it's so easy for us to continue to fall in the trap of walking by sight, walking and believing in only what we can see and nothing else. Lord, help us to walk and live by our faith.